want to dismiss our children to Sunday school at this time. Glory to God. I'd like to turn your attention to Colossians, the first chapter. If we could keep the screen down, please. Colossians 1, starting in verse number 25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the words of God. Even the mystery which hath been hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, not to everybody, his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What is it? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. The greatest secret ever kept in this world is Jesus is God, and he manifests himself in the flesh to become our Savior. Amen. And with that transformation, he took that power and he gave it to us before he left. Lord, we ask your blessing on your word. God, that it would penetrate this morning. It would revive us and cause us to have a deeper walk and commitment to you, recognizing the privilege that we have and the power that is within us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I woke up this morning thinking of something. Have you ever wondered why we Pentecostals are so intense? We're so sold out to God about our relationship with God. And it seemed like it happened just immediately when we were filled with His Spirit. It didn't take a 12-week program in order to get the intensity that we have and this great desire in order to live. It just seemed like it came on us, while those of denominational persuasions are somewhat lethargic. They are satisfied with a 20-minute book report on a Sunday morning, and then they resume their normal life activities with no thought for God at all, and yet they declare they're saved. While we involve God in every aspect of our life, it seems like you can hardly go through a day without singing a song or thinking about the things of God or scriptures coming to our mind. And they say, we're abnormal. And it's just not enough to get a little dissertation on the Bible protocol once a week. Not enough. We get so hungry, our appetite is just so generated. I got to get more of God. Hallelujah. My first impression after getting the Holy Ghost is we only have church 3 times a week. What's going on? So I involved myself in at least 6 Bible studies in the first year because I wanted more and more and more of God. Well, I'm glad you asked those questions because I want to give you an answer. Why? Why? Something happened to us when we received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It was more than just speaking in a different language. It was more than evidence that, you know, the Spirit of God was within us. There was a transformation that took place in us. It wasn't just a revelation of who is God or a transfer of great knowledge of God. There was a power transfer that changed everything that happened in our life. Our values changed. It wasn't programmed. It wasn't like, okay, here's the set of rules you have to. There was something within us that said, my values aren't the same as they used to be. Our character changed. We didn't do the things that we used to do. We felt bad about those things that God didn't like. Our priorities changed. Now it was seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. I want to do what do you want me to do, God? Pastor, preach it to me. Song service is only half an hour. You are not limited to a half an hour. You can worship God all day long. Every day of the week, you can keep having your own song service. You can be the song leader. And our desires, our desires changed. What we thought was important is no longer important, you know? And it happens not by our moral strength, but by God's power. Hallelujah. You know, there are so many people who start their walk with God, but they figure, I cannot do that, because they think they're going to do it on their own strength, their own moral code. And God's saying, no. See, I put the book in your hands as a guideline. It is the road signs along the life that you have, and now I'm going to give you the power in order to obey them. In fact, I'll take out the stony heart and put a heart of flesh in you and cause you to walk in my spirit. Colossians 1 and 27 said, to whom God would make known what is the riches or the fullness of the glory or the very apparent power of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ. And the word Christ there is the anointing in you. It is the anointing in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. It all comes down to this mystery that most of the world doesn't even understand. So God wants to make known the fullness of his very apparent power, which has been kept secret in the past, but now will be revealed by his saints, by the power, the anointing, which is in each and every one of us, that causes a change that couldn't be predicated based on enough information, but by his Spirit. Amen. Not by power, not by strength, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. God's indwelling Spirit automatically creates a transformation of power in us. Amen. That's why in the book of Acts, the 19th chapter, you know, there were these 12 men who were filled with the Holy Ghost and immediately began to be used in the gifts of the Spirit. Wait a minute, you got to have 3 or 4 months of training before you can be used in the gifts of the Spirit. Well, your Holy Ghost is the same Holy Ghost that I have, and it's for ministry. It is for changing us that nothing else in this world can do. Go into rehabilitation. Come out. Go into rehabilitation. Come out. Go into rehabilitation. Come out. No, just go to the altar once. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. It transforms us. It changes us. And I guess, I don't know if this is a good illustration, but there are people who have been possessed by evil spirits, and it really alters their life. Now, we are possessed by a spirit as well that alters us, changes us, gets a hold of us, makes us a prisoner of God. Point in fact, there were so many good men and women in the Old Testament. I mean, great patriarchs. And yet so many of them failed over and over and over again. Abraham failed God, lied about his wife being his sister because he was afraid that there'd be, you know, the king's going to kill him, you know. And then in the New Testament, after they received the Holy Ghost, people were willing to lay down their life for God. It didn't matter. Hey, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to tell you that Jesus is God. Remember, Peter receives the greatest revelation of anybody in the entire Bible, that God was in Christ. Hallelujah. And the church was going to be built on that revelation, and he was going to get the keys to the kingdom. He was going to preach the greatest message. And just in a short while later, he denies the Lord three times because he was afraid. But then after he got the Holy Ghost in the upper room, he stands up in front of thousands of people and said, "You know what? You crucified your only Lord and Savior." Well, what's the deal? Where did the boldness come from? Something inside of me changed me. Now, all of a sudden, I'm not afraid anymore. I'm not afraid of cancer. I'm not afraid of accusations. I'm not afraid of anything happening to me, because greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. You see, sinners don't evolve. In 10 years, I'm going to be a saint. You know, if I can get enough Bible studies, if I can get in church long enough, sinners don't evolve into a saint or a Christian. It doesn't happen. It is something we're born into. Hallelujah. Water in the Spirit. Amen. Now we're a saint. Amen. Hallelujah. If somebody gets the Holy Ghost this morning and is baptized in Jesus' name, they be a saint. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. They're not sitting on the bench for 4 years until they get enough knowledge. Amen. You see, it takes the power within them to have the transformation process. You cannot do it yourself, and most of the world doesn't understand it. They walk in here and look around and see there's a commitment, there are restrictions, and say, "Well, I couldn't do that. I might as well not even start." Well, you didn't give God a chance. Amen. Amen. You know, it's much the same process as in nature. A caterpillar, which has turned into this beautiful butterfly. If you'll turn back to Romans chapter 8. We just read it, verse 28. "And now we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Now, here's where we stop. But it says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." So who he knew, or those that he filled with his spirit, he has ordained them to conform to the image of his flesh. Now, that word that says he also did predestinate, it doesn't mean that he planned that you're going to be saved and you're not going to be saved. But the word predestinate means to limit by tying up or restricting your freedom. And here's the problem that we have with that, is we think that once we come into the church, we're going to have freedom for everything that we do. And God says, "No, you caterpillars, I want you to fly away." And so the caterpillar by nature says, "The only way I can become that beautiful butterfly is to somehow restrict my life and have a cocoon wrapped around me, and I am restricted from any kind of freedom for some time." But then, oh, glory, hallelujah, when I die, by and by, I'll fly away. Oh, no, no, no. I don't want any restrictions in my life. Glory to God. And the restriction is so we can conform to, did he have restrictions in his life? And after the restrictions, he said, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. The Bible uses the word transfigured, which in the Greek is metamorphosis. Every step of our salvation and power was first displayed in Jesus. He restricted himself. Imagine leaving heaven to come to earth to have somebody crucify you that you loved. Amen. Jesus was transfigured before his disciples. Turn to Matthew, the 17th chapter, please. Matthew 17, verse number 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. There are certain disciples, there are certain people within the church that just want to get closer to God, and God knows who you are. And God will take you to a higher level, if you will. And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Anybody feel like that this morning? Amen. This is good. Amen. Isn't it amazing? You know, you spend a week in camp, morning, night, morning, night, morning, night, and all of a sudden you're saying, I got to get more church. But when you restrict yourself to, well, I'll give God a little bit, it seems like you have to drag your flesh to the next service. But when you're exposed to that transfiguration, all of a sudden, and said unto Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and for Elias. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And the disciples, when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. He came this morning and touched some people for their own transfiguration. Luke 9 and 29 says, and as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. Jesus, God manifest in the flesh, allowed his indwelling power to be manifest to 3 of his apostles. And when we receive the Holy Ghost, there's the same power to change our countenance, our attitude towards life, our perspective of what's important and what's not important. The containment of this power inside of us makes changes in us that could not be appropriated through any other kind of discipline that we could have in our life. I've said I'd go on a diet and didn't last very long. I've made certain commitments that didn't last very long. But when God is involved in the commitment and the change, it's not hard at all, folks. Amen. Turn to Ephesians, the 3rd chapter. I verse number 19. Paul's saying, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all of the fullness of God. Well, how does that happen? It's the Holy Ghost. Now unto him that is able, that's God, to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, how? According to the power that worketh in us. See, if the power of God is in us, Christ in you, the hope of glory, we're able to ask or think of the things that we need or what God would give us. You see, it's not the knowledge of Scripture that transforms a sinner into the saint. Amen. You can study your head off. It's not going to change you. Just the knowledge of the stop sign isn't going to step on the brake. Hallelujah. Otherwise, Bible knowledge alone would be sufficient in order to allow us to live as Christians. But as we spend time in the presence of God, as we come to church services, and as we pray, and as we worship, there is a transfer of power that causes a renewing and a transformation within us from glory to glory. What happens is we are empowered by God when we get in his presence. Hallelujah. You know, these Bible quizzers absorb the word of God, but what it does is it causes them to do what the word of God says and see the importance of applying the word to them, that they could have that power in them. And that's why when our young people come back from camp, there is a spiritual change and there is an appetite and they want to do more. We've taken young people on trips to Mexico and they've taken money in order to buy little trinkets. And when they get there, they're so overwhelmed by the need there that they give all of their money to those that are there. Why? Because there's something about God that changes our attitudes and our priorities. And conversely, the less time in church, the more we struggle to serve God. Oh, that pastor, man. Can you get off that thing? No. You don't understand how important it is to have more of God in you. Because there's a temptation right around the corner that's going to grab you by the neck. We just celebrated the 4th of July. All kinds of fireworks. We love the pyrotechnics, the display. You know, wow. I even like the sound of it, you know. When I was less mature, I'd buy as much fireworks as I possibly could. And every time we'd go up to camp, I'd go on to the reservation because there were no restrictions on fireworks there. Some years ago, I went onto the reservation looking for those who were... Don't think less of me because of this, but I'm looking for the real stuff, you know. And so I was at a gas station, and they're in open because it's a different country when you go on the Indian reservation. They had half sticks of dynamite. I said to the guy, "You can just shoot those off here?" He says, "Oh, yeah." And he grabs one and lights it. Throws it over the bank. Stones are flying up in the air. I mean, there's a gas pump right there. And I said, "My God." He said, "We got the real thing." Now, if you want Ladyfinger church services, bang. You can have that. But folks, I want the real stuff. I like the dynamite experience. You know? Something will blow you back a little bit. You know? Glory to God. But in order to have fireworks, you must contain gunpowder in a small package. And then you have to ignite it. Please hear me. You can't have power without containment. Hallelujah. The same is true for God's vessel. The more of God that we can cram in us, the greater the power we can have. Hallelujah. Ephesians 3 and 20 said, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask and think, according to the power that worketh in us." So the more God that we have crammed into the space that we have prepared for him, the greater power that we have. Amen. Glory to God. Going on a long trip, but only have an eighth of a tank of gas. Not going very far. Anybody know where Acts 1 and 8 is? "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And of course, that word power here in the Greek is the word dunamis, the root word for dynamite. Dynamite was almost exclusively used in mining process years ago. Without the power of dynamite, there wouldn't be gold or silver or diamonds, because you just couldn't get to them. Without the Holy Ghost, you're not going to get to the real wealth of what God has for us. You see, it's impossible to get people saved without the power of the Holy Ghost. You can get them to follow certain things for a little while, but eventually, you know, the enthusiasm wears off. It blasts them out of the grip of the world. The principle behind the working of dynamite is that you ignite a very powerful substance, in this case nitroglycerin, that is crammed into an inert or lethargic material. That's us, folks. Something that will absorb as much of the nitroglycerin as possible, such as sawdust or wood pulp. But in 1867, Alfred Nobel discovered a chalky earth material. It was white, that would absorb about three times its own weight in nitroglycerin. And the more of the nitrile that could be absorbed in this earthy substance, but we have this treasure, in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You're not going to do it by yourself. You got to get the nitrile in you. "So we shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon us," based on how much of God can you absorb. If you walk out of here this morning and you keep thinking about the message and how God touched you, you see, you're absorbing, you're absorbing, you're absorbing. And now all of a sudden you have power to resist temptations, power to live for God like you never had before. He's put his extremely powerful spirit in the lethargic earthly vessel and gives us power that the world has never seen, because the doctors can go through 25 years of medical school, but they can't heal, but we can, because of the power that is within us. You can have an incredible program for getting rid of drugs and alcohol and all kinds of things, but when you have the nitro that we have to overcome and most of all to convert, but it all depends on how much of the Holy Ghost has been absorbed in every service that we have according to the power that worketh within us. How much of God have you crammed into the house that you prepared for Him? Listen, we can't have power without containment. I've been in church services where people bounced off the walls. They had incredible programs, singing, musicians, beautiful buildings, but there was not any restriction on their lives. Well, we're all free to do whatever we want to do. God doesn't want any kind of restrictions on you, and you're wondering why there is no power. They have found that if you took a mighty river and you brought the banks in, you can make it into a useful dam to produce mighty electricity. But the broader it becomes, no, that's not what God, you don't have to, it's not important. No containment, no power. Hallelujah. So consequently, when you don't have any kind of restrictions based on not man, but what the Word of God says, when you restrain your life, when the caterpillar restrains its restriction, predestined to be a butterfly, when you're willing to do that, then all of a sudden there's this incredible transformation that happens, and you didn't even know how it happened. Our families are saying, what happened to you? Why do you want to keep going to church? What's the deal? You should be able to have more freedom. I do. Amen. It's not freedom like you want. I don't have to wear patches on my arms. Glory to God. You know, I was in the woods some years ago. I decided that I was going to go do a black powder hunt for deer. Have a special season for black powder. And, of course, you only get one shot. It's one of those old muskets. You put black powder in and you ram it down, and then you take a steel ball and you ram that thing down, you know, and then you put a little cap on the end and pull the hammer back, and sometimes it actually works. And I was sitting under a tree, and I was kind of bored. So what I did was I poured a little black powder on a leaf, you know, and then I took a match, and I decided to light it, you know. Glory to God. My eyebrows are starting to come back now. But you know what it did? It went, no power, a little bit of light. See, unless it's contained in something, unless there's some kind of restriction, it's got no power whatsoever. It's called a flash in the pan. 2 Timothy 3 and 5, Paul says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Church should be powerful, not ritual. Amen. I know I've said this before, and this might be a time for you to get a little nap. But when I was in the Army, I was a staff sergeant on a self-propelled 155 howitzer. It was the biggest gun. In fact, it still is the biggest gun that the military has on land. The rounds shot a projectile about this long, about this big in diameter. It weighed about 100 pounds. And then placed behind it, after it was put into the barrel, or what we call the tube, you could put up to 8 bags of powder, depending on how far you wanted to go and how much damage that you wanted. And then you would take it's called a primer, but it looks like a rifle shell, and you'd put that in the end of the breech, and then you'd put a lanyard on it, and when the order was given, you would pull the lanyard, and that primer would light the powder, and then this thing would take off and go for literally miles, and somebody had to give the order. And because of the containment of the power in the breech of the howitzer, there was power to destroy the enemy. Can you imagine if God would allow all of our breaches to be filled with the power of God? Stuffed inside of us, overflowing. Can you imagine the damage that we could do to the enemy? The boldness that we would have to be able to do whatever God wanted. Go pray for that person. I want to heal them right now. It would happen, not because of our confidence, but because of the power and the presence of God that we have crammed inside of us. 2 Timothy 1 and 7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power." Hallelujah. So how much of God's power is crammed in you this morning? You can grade your own report card. It's based on the character change, the priorities, the values you have. How excited are you still about God? How much of God's word do you want? Do you allow the preacher, who is the primer, to ignite the Holy Ghost within you every time we get together? Do you contain your life and restrictions based on what God wants so we can have more power, that it isn't just a fizzle on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night, but there's something that happens and God speaks to you like he wants to speak to you? Paul said we could have more than we could ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Jesus came to provide salvation for us, but also to endue us with power. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I think we've relinquished that power to, oh, you got the Holy Ghost. So happy for you. Now sit on a pew and listen to all the sermons and raise your hand during the worship when God's saying, really? That's it? That's all you want? You're gonna live a miserable Christian life if that's all there is, folks. Hallelujah. Amen. You will drag yourself to church You will analyze the preaching and say, I don't know if that's important to me. But when you are crammed full, all of the crevices are full within you with the power and the presence of God, I'm telling you, this is the most exciting life that you could ever possibly live. Amen. Our last scripture found in Matthew 28. Verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, now this is just before he ascends up into heaven. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Never said that before. He didn't say that until he was obedient to the cross and letting the creation crucify him. Maybe we just need to die more in order to get more power. Go ye therefore, because of all of the power that I have in heaven and earth that'll soon be in you. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, which is Jesus, and in the name of the Son, which is Jesus, and of the Holy Ghost, which is Jesus, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Amen. I've got this Jesus inside of me. I got the same power. He said, greater things than these will you do, because there is going to be limitless power within you. First of all, to be what Jesus wants you to become. But second of all, to transfer that power into something that will happen. This has got to be an exciting thing. Hallelujah. If you've relegated it to just hold on until Jesus comes, I hope I make it, then you're going to be miserable and there's a possibility you will never make it, because you're living on little sips of the Holy Ghost when God's saying, you know what? You need to gulp. You need to gulp. You're not drunk as you're supposed to be drunk. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. There's an old saying that says, use it or lose it. Amen. Some of you took foreign languages in high school and, you know, can you speak a sentence today? Use it or lose it. The same is true for the Holy Ghost. Use it or lose it. When's the last time you spoke in a heavenly language? Use it or lose it. Amen. Glory to God. Would you stand with me, please? The power that is within us. Amen. Glory to God. Can you imagine what would happen if this little filling station in Franksville would put up a big sign this afternoon that says, free fill-ups? They would be lined up way down to 38 because people want to get a free fill-up. Which, in a week, would be gone. And now there's no more free fill-ups. But what if God said, come, and you will receive water, and you will not thirst after this. One fill up, you know, and a keep renewing of that spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Then you won't have to play church. You'll be the church. Amen.